You are watching Game Time Decisions. I am Gabriel Morenci. Welcome to the program that puts his money where his fantasies are on the Fantasy Sports Network. We've got a fun show lined up for you this afternoon slash this evening when it replays at 5:30. Mike Cardano is going to join us. We're going to talk some Major League Baseball with Cardano, a little NFL football. The professor, Dave Malinsky, steps up and in. And Dave's one of my favorite guests. He always has been. He's been joining me for about 15 years now. Dave Malinsky, actually, he's been with us since basically year one. So let's call it 16 years for the professor. Dave Malinsky joins us. We're going to talk baseball with Dave Malinsky. We'll continue our NFL previews. We're on to the Houston Texans. And I got to tell you, you know, we all know that, like, European soccer fans, the hooligans, the nut jobs, that they're pretty crazy. But I don't even think they're as crazy as, like, NFL fans are. I'm doing season previews. I'm getting hate on YouTube because I say the Browns are going to suck. It's like, am I really shocking you, Cleveland, with this? I got some dude, oh, yeah, you know what? We'll see what you have to say. Get off the crack pipe. Get off the meth. See what you have to say when they're 7-9. All right, buddy. We'll see what I have to say when they're 7-9 and what. Get back to me in about 2022, okay? Like, they're not going to be 7-9. Don't hate on me. I don't hate the Cleveland Browns. It's not my fault they suck. Don't shoot the messenger, man. I'm just telling you what I think, all right? And I'm going to tell you what I think about the AFC South today. And this one was so difficult, I had to ask the people online. I had to ask the people online because I really didn't know. You know, all throughout my previews in the NFL previews, I've been able to tell the boys, you know, in graphics the night before, yeah, tomorrow I'm doing this team. It was pretty relatively simple, blasting through the orders, what I think the orders are going to be. It was a little tricky with the Bengals and the Ravens. They're kind of the same. It's like the Bills and the Dolphins. They're kind of the same. But now we get into the AFC South. The AFC South used to be a putrid, crap-ass division, man. It's not anymore. It's pretty good. So I asked you guys on Twitter, who do you think? We got a lot of votes, man. We're over like 200 or something like that. I did it in the middle of the night. This morning, it started to get some traction. And pretty much like 38, 39, in the 40% range are saying that the Tennessee Titans are going to win the division. And I got a great tweet from our boy Degenerate Dean, Fight Resistance, who said, you know, the people, is this a fantasy football poll or is this a reality football poll? I'll tell you right now, we're going in the predictive order from each division, and I'm not going to give it away, except we're not talking about the Tennessee Titans today. I'll put it that way. Who am I kidding? I already tweeted it out. We're talking about the Houston Texans. Houston Texans, my Texans preview coming up on the program. College World Series last night, I gave you guys the under in that baseball game, went under the number. Unfortunately, that might have been like my only win. Baseball is a weird sport, man. Like, really, the Dodgers are 16-1 their last 17 games. You're getting Ricky freaking Nolasco, man. Ricky Nolasco, like, couldn't get a T-ball hitter out right now. Yet somehow he shuts down the most powerful offense in baseball, pitches a shutout. Why not? Dude might have won a complete game if he didn't take a ball off the shin. Like, hey, it's a strange sport. Colorado Rockies, they're regressing right now, man. We're going to break that down with Malinsky. Malinsky's got some thoughts on Max Scherzer. We've got a lot of good baseball talk tonight. How bad is the Washington National bullpen? It's so bad that it might be the worst bullpen of all freaking time. That's right. Of all time, we're going to crunch some numbers when it comes to the Nationals' bullpen. Got an interesting pitching matchup tonight with Arrieta and Scherzer. So here we are right now, nearly 3 months in to the halfway point of the Major League Baseball regular season. And everybody looks at the All-Star break as the halfway point, but you know what? We're about numbers here, right? So the fact of the matter is the halfway point is the 81-game mark. Looking at the standings and looking at teams' records, teams are getting there, man. They played 75, 76, 77 baseball games, etc. We're getting there right now. We're getting into, you know, the games are starting to count. The games are starting to count. And people, oh, baseball's too long. Season's too long. The games are too long. Screw you. You know what? If you're having sex with a hot chick, you know, do you want to be over faster or longer? You know, if something's good, hey, it could be longer, right? Except the NHL. You guys are insane. But hey, this baseball season's been awesome. It's flying by, man. We're 3 months in here and this stuff's wide open. Four of the six divisions are still up for grabs right now. The Houston Astros are running away with things in the American League West. The Washington Nationals all but have the National League least wrapped up right now. But the other divisions, man, are rocking and freaking rolling. And I'll tell you what, the AL East is the way I guess it's always been, right? We got the Boston Red Sox and the New York Yankees banging right now at the top of the standings. Don't look now, man, but the Tampa Bay Devil Rays actually don't suck so much anymore. Did they drop the Devil? I think they did. The Rays? Whatever. You know, Tampa, the coolest town in the state of Florida. Nothing but death metal and strip clubs. Good stuff. Tampa Bay Rays, they're right there in the mix. Meanwhile, the Blue Jays and the Orioles, it's interesting they're playing each other because they both just can't get it going. We'll see if either one of them can. There's been a lot of surprises across the board, but to me, the biggest surprise is the fact that Chicago Cubs still are on in first place. And we've been right here pretty much all season long. They haven't sucked, but Milwaukee's always been ahead of them. And you keep waiting. You're like, are Chicago in first place yet? Chicago in first place yet? And they're not. You got to believe eventually the Milwaukee Brewers hit a wall, right? You know, I've been around baseball a long time, and I've seen this, especially with the Expos, and I used to fall for this crap. Maybe this is our year. I'm covering the team and all the time. Usually, I'll tell you what, the first week of August is when, that's when it gets real, and that's when, like, these pretenders usually hit the wall. But it's amazing to me that the Minnesota Twins haven't hit the wall yet. And you know what? It's the 30th anniversary of their World Series championship in 1987. Maybe there's a little magic going on here. The odds makers don't think so. They still have the Indians and the Cubs as like minus 500 favorites to come back and win these divisions. The NL West is the best division in baseball. It's awesome. All three teams are probably going to be in the playoffs. If you want to get in the playoffs in a National League, you better win your division because the wild card's coming out of the West, baby. You know what? I'm as big of a football fan as it gets. But it's been a great summer, man. NASCAR season's been awesome. This baseball season's been great, and it's only going to get better. Think of some of the potential World Series matchups that we could have. The Dodgers and the Yankees, perennial World Series rivals, man, going back to the Brooklyn days. You know, in the 70s with Reggie Jackson hitting the three home runs. 1981, Blue Monday, Dodgers beat the Expos. Then they beat the Yankees in the World Series. Dodgers-Yankees would be off the hook. Dodgers-Sox, Cubs-Sox. We can mix up a lot of these matchups. And either way, it's going to be a thrilling hunt for October. I'll tell you what. Bring it on. Let's play ball. Game Time Decisions continues. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. I am Gabriel Morency. We are live. We've got a great show lined up for you. Dave Malinsky is going to join us in a second. Mike Cardano will join us. Cardano's fired up. He's got a ton of topics he wants to hit. My NFL team-by-team preview continues on today's program. We talk about the Houston Texans and what are their chances coming into the season. But without further ado, let's bring in a Professor Dave Malinsky right now, straight from the strip in Las Vegas, Nevada, to talk some Major League Baseball. We've got a ton of storylines going on right now. We're approaching the halfway point of the season. There's been a lot of surprises, and there's a lot of interesting games and big series going on this week. Let's bring in Dave. Dave, it's always a pleasure, sir. How you doing?
You know, Gabe, we've probably done what, couple of hundred shows through the years, maybe a couple of thousand. This is probably the first time I've come on after you've been nice for a few minutes. I don't know what to do.
Yeah, it catches people off guard, and I know our cameraman actually often bet with the guys in Master Control how long my opening rant is going to be. And just for the record, you guys in the booth, camera two, true two cheats, because he asked me, what are you talking about today? And he can tell by the topic. If I tell him Ryan Fitzpatrick or Andy Dalton, you know, he knows it's going to be like a 12-minute rant. If I tell him I'm talking about the Major League Baseball playoff chase, he knows it's going to be a shorter one.
So now what do we do?
Well, I could rant and rave about losing on the Dodgers last night, Dave, but listen, it's like life. Sometimes you just got to laugh at the irony of things when you consider the L.A. Dodgers were on a 10-game win streak. They were 16-1 in their last 17 baseball games. They had a record streak going of 17 straight games with at least one home run. They're taking on a pitcher in Ricky Nolasco that everybody, every beat writer, and anybody around Mike Socha was asking him, why do you keep starting this guy? And I tell you what, Socha kept saying, he's a big league pitcher, he's going to turn it around, and then boom, he shuts out the Dodgers last night.
Well, here's what can happen, and it's something in the betting markets, we take it for granted because we follow this all the time. But take a look at today's board, and you see the Dodger total already dropping a full run. You see a big drop in the Giant total tonight. You know, it gets hot and humid around the west of the country, and the ball carries more. And people just make these assumptions. But you know what? Dodger Stadium in the middle of the summer can be cool. Going to be in the 60s up there tonight. Probably three balls hit off Nolasco last night that might have been home runs at another time. But look at San Francisco tonight. When they get to the 7th, 8th, and 9th inning, temperature's going to be down in the mid-50s.
Yeah.
It's a different story in these West Coast ballparks in summer.
It's a very good point. I know you just sort of assume. And you look at San Diego, obviously. Petco's not a hitter's park either. You know, you look in the South, like Atlanta. That is. The humidity, you can't avoid it. It's fascinating, Dave. And I lived in L.A., and, you know, I religiously went to Chavez Ravine 1 year. The year after they won the World Series with Gibson, Gibson was still there. We used to cheer him every day, you know, even though we sucked. The next year, he was limping out there and saying, we were like, hey, it was like every day, man. You know, that was the year the Reds actually won. But I went to 63 out of 81 home games that year, Dave. And it's fascinating. Why is it a pitcher's park? Is it because of the, you know, is it because of the mountains? Is it the air? I never understood that, why it was. People used to say it was neutral. It wasn't a pitcher's park. It wasn't a hitter's park. It was sort of neutral. But the ball doesn't fly out of there.
Now, you will hear people talk about what they call the marine layer. And that's part of it. They're also going all the way down to Petco Park in San Diego, where when you get this cool, dry air, you know, the ball just doesn't care. You know who talked about this better than anyone? And you could probably look up and find great quotes in the past. Oral Hershiser.
Oh, yeah.
He knew that there were parts of the strike zone that he could work to, because he said there were some nights where he knew by the second or third inning, no one was going to hit a home run to the power alleys. So he could work up in the zone. Don't let anybody pull the ball down the line, but work up in the zone to the power alleys.
What a brilliant mind, Dave. What a brilliant mind the Bulldog was to understand the weather and pitch location because of it.
Oh, if you could put a fastball high in on the outside part of the plate and know that the guy could hit it as hard as he could, and it's just going to be a fly ball out the center field, what an advantage that is.
I've seen a lot of, I've been a part of a lot of Dodgers history, Dave. I wasn't at Blue Monday. I was there the game before. So I saw one of the games in the series. I was 11 years old. It was a school day. I skipped school, but I didn't go to the game on that famous Monday. But I was at Fernando Valenzuela's no-hitter. I think it was in, what, like 91 or 92, whatever it was, against the Cardinals in his swan song. And I was actually there. I saw two Oral Hershiser starts when he went on that consecutive innings streak. The Bulldogs, one of my all-time favorite Dodgers. So as far as World Series futures go, Dave, I told people 2 weeks ago, and you got to be patient for this stuff, but the Dodgers were 12-1. And I said, this team's about to go on a run here, guys. Good value at 12-1. Now it's plus 550. The Astros are holding strong at plus 400. I just don't see the Astros winning the World Series. I don't even think they're going to get to the World Series. The Cubs, plus 525, I don't know. You know, we keep waiting for them to turn it on. Is it going to happen? And then you got the Dodgers, the Red Sox, the Nationals, the Yankees. What's your take right now at the halfway point as far as the teams to beat?
Well, you know, what's frightening about the Dodgers, and we've been following this closely here all season, is how good Alex Wood has looked. Alex Wood has been better than Clayton Kershaw this season. If Wood stays where he's at, and you know where, you know what Kershaw is going to be come October, that is such a dynamite pitching staff. Question is whether the Dodgers make a move to get a right-hander in. They can't count on Rich Hill, so maybe they go get a right-hander. Jansen not only has been as good as any reliever, but, you know, they've been winning the game so easily, Jansen's been getting a breather.
Yeah.
So I like their chances. But one of the teams to watch, though, because they will make a change soon, the Nationals. They're going to hit as well as anybody in the playoffs. It's just at some point they're going to pull a trigger for a closer, and that could make a big difference for them. We just don't know who that closer is going to be yet.
So it better not be Francisco Rodriguez who they signed. come on, Dave, you got bullpen problems and this is your solution? And I know they've got something else in mind, but I don't see how he helps the situation.
I don't think he can. You know, there just isn't anything left in that particular tank. But they're sort of like, look, we can gamble. It won't cost us much. If it doesn't work, big deal. But they've got to make, I think they got to make that move pretty soon because they're going to get to a point where the home field's going to be out of reach. And you hate for that to get away this early in the season. So the Nats are going to have to be active. How would you like, though, to be managing a team where on most nights Bryce Harper has only been your third best hitter? That's how good that Nats offense has been, Murphy and Zimmerman having dynamic runs.
So last night, the shoe was on the other, cleat was on the other foot, so to speak, Dave, in that it was the Cubs bullpen that melted down late in the baseball game. But the Nationals couldn't get that tying run in, 5-4 game last night. I find it interesting, actually. Madden has been very, very calm this year, Dave, and he's a brilliant Zen master. Phil Jackson's now lost his mind, but when Phil used to know what he was doing, when he was coaching, he was always calm. And Madden's been calm all year, no panic. Hey, we're good. And asked about whether this is a big series and how important it is. And I've never heard this. He goes, this is a curiosity series. He goes, I'm curious in the Nationals, and, you know, I'm curious at how we're going to play against them, but it isn't a be-all, end-all. You know, the Cubs are only one game back of the Brewers, and I guess they figure the Brewers will eventually hit the wall. Tonight we got Arrieta and Scherzer on the hill. And something that's interesting, Dave, about the Nationals' bullpen woes, the Nationals' starters have pitched more than any other starters in the league. They're averaging 6 2/3 per start, Dave. That's freaking incredibly awesome, but that's pretty taxing down the road, isn't it? And we got Scherzer on the hill tonight, who's the king of going long.
Yeah, tonight might be a good example. I mean, the last two starts, Scherzer goes 118 and 121. You got to go back a long time to find the last time a guy came in off of 239 pitches. And here's the problem with that 121. It was a close game in which he had a no-hitter. That meant a lot of pressure pitches. He's not out there relaxing with the lead. I'm wondering if maybe Max Scherzer, Gabe, is just a little bit vulnerable tonight. The physical fatigue and just the way it got away at Miami in his last outing, that's got to disrupt a guy mentally a bit.
Speaking of getting away from them, the Colorado Rockies, a little bit of a regression right now. They've lost 6 games in a row. They've given up 57 runs during this streak. And the thing for them is it doesn't get any easier after this. They got to go to Arizona this weekend. So they've got to dig down deep, Dave, and figure out a way to stop the bleeding because they've got 5 more games on this road trip. Because I almost assumed, I look at their schedule, I was like, they'll be back home this weekend. Things will settle down. And, hey, we had a rocky trip. It happens. Just like the Yankees went on the coast. They lost 6 in a row. It can happen. But they're getting beat up in the process. You know, they've got one of their best pitchers on the hill tonight in Hoffman. He's been great on the road, 3-0 on the road. His whip is 0.54. Kane is 1-6 with a 7.07 ERA and a 2.01 whip in his last 7 starts. Looks like a nice spot for the Rockies tonight, but looked like a nice spot for the Dodgers last night, too.
No, because here's what you get tonight. Matt Kane tonight could be Ricky Nolasco of last night. Kane has very little left in the tank, but what can he do? He can get a lot of fly balls when the temperature's in the 50s in that ballpark. I mean, his earned run average on the road is triple what it is at home. His home runs per 9 on the road is triple what it is at home. But Kane's been in that park long enough, and he understands that weather well enough. Hey, let him crush some fly balls tonight. The outfielders will catch them. Colorado could be vulnerable one more time here.
You know, you're talking about the Dodgers and picking somebody else up. Johnny Cueto's going to be out there. I don't know. I'd like to look this up. I don't know if the boys in the booth can do this quickly. When's the last time the Dodgers and the Giants did a deal together?
I'm almost wondering if they've ever done a deal together.
Because I was thinking, because I see the Giants want to unload Johnny Cueto. And I, as a Dodger fan, I was like, you know what? Johnny Cueto would be pretty nice in our rotation. Yeah, just throw him in here. I can live with Johnny Cueto in the playoffs. And then I thought, but would they do that to the Dodgers? Probably not. And, like, I don't know. They must have made a deal at some point in time in history, but off the top of my head, I can't recall one in the last 20, 30 years, man.
Yeah, because you're not just talking about helping the Dodgers. You're talking about possibly putting them over the hump to win a World Series. So, but that's one of the great things about the rivalry is, okay, do you trade Cueto for the best deal you can get? Because the Dodgers have more to offer.
No, now that I'm thinking about it, we can't give them a prospect. You're right. I don't even know what I was thinking. It would have to be a three-way. Because both of our fan bases couldn't live with this. Let's say the Dodgers won a World Series and Cueto's the guy on the hill. People in Frisco are going to be pissed. And Dodger fans, I'm going to be livid if we got some blue chip kid that's a star in 5 years in the Bay Area.
Yeah, the Dodgers, though, have such a surplus right now that they're dealing with. They have some tradable pieces, some young, also some veterans. I mean, when do we see Adrian Gonzalez back on the field again? The Dodgers don't really have a use for him where Gonzalez can come into play. He can fit for somebody, and if that somebody has a right-handed starter that you can rely on, that's what we may see happen between now and the trade deadline.
All right, Dave, finally in closing, I saw late-breaking news this morning. The Supreme Court is going to take up the state of New Jersey's appeal on the ban of sports gambling in their casinos. Interesting development.
Yeah, it's going to still be a little while. We won't likely get this in front of them until October. So forget about, you know, football 2017. But now here's what the professional leagues have a decision to make. Do we oppose this? Do we go in and try to knock it down? Or does this become our excuse to get behind it? Because it just makes so much sense, especially for the NFL, to not fight it at this stage.
I find it interesting. Pence and that part of the wing of the group is against it. Trump has said he's been for it in the past, yet has seemed to walk it back a little bit. And I think that's directly because of Sheldon donating so much money, who is against it. Yet Chris Christie, who is in that room, he's for it. And ultimately, I really do believe, Dave, I mean, you look at the Supreme Court, the way it's operating right now, I think it's going to be more conservative based. So I do believe what Trump and his guys want will be what Gorsuch and these guys deliver.
Yeah, the question, though, I mean, from the league standpoint, if they don't want to put up the pressure between now and then, with the American Gaming Association and so many other groups well organized, you're going to see a lot of consumer surveys. And if it shows that people overwhelmingly want the product, I think that's going to weigh on how much pressure the leagues put on. And if the leagues don't bring the pressure, I don't think the politicos necessarily will.
So for the record, we'll get out of here, but without getting too legal, for the record, Roger Goodell and the sports leagues were the big entity in stopping this over the years. They always testify that it's detrimental to the integrity of their league, blah, 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 and it'll open up gambling and, oh, what about the children and all this type of stuff. But how does Roger Goodell or Gary Bettman stand in front of any judge and with goodwill look at them in the eye and tell them that this is bad when they're both taking money from the city of Las Vegas right now?
Yeah, and what they're also going to have to do is say, illegal is better than legal for our consumers. That's a tough argument to make.
Not to mention a revenues for the states that can sure as hell use them. Dave Malinsky, it's always a pleasure, sir. I can't wait to start talking football with you, but great baseball talk today. Thanks for the time.
Hey, good luck, everybody.
Oh, Dave, before we go, I wanted to ask you, is there anything else on the board tonight? I didn't ask you any other games.
You know, the one that I wanted the most has actually got popped. I'm becoming a Jose Quintana fan. I think there's a good spot to buy in with him, but look up, and after two good starts, the market's already jumped it.
Thanks, Dave.
Thanks, Dave.
And we can go on and on with Dave. But Mike Cardano ready to join us next. We'll focus in on this Nationals bullpen and freak you guys out and just incredibly how bad they actually are. Great baseball talk with Dave Malinsky. Let's continue it with Mike Cardano, the vice president of operations, president of operations, director of operations, roto expert of operations. Mike Cardano joins us. What's going on, Mike?
What are you talking about? I wash the dishes over here.
Yeah. You do that too, huh?
Yeah.
And Mike was the man that is putting me and Cam on 5 nights a week. We got nice feedback last night, Mike. You should be getting some Christmas cards from the Rageaholics.
Well deserved. Well deserved.
Yeah, I appreciate that. We look forward to that starting July the 5th, Monday through Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern. Until then, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 o'clock Eastern. So we were just talking with Malinsky about the National bullpen a little bit. And I said, there's no reason to fret. They signed Francisco Rodriguez. He's going to come and fix everything right now. Which, you know, that's like pouring gasoline on a tire fire already. But all kidding aside, the Nationals' bullpen is bad. How bad is it? It's on pace to be the worst bullpen of all time. As we speak right now, worst ERA in the league at 5.20. Opposing hitters are hitting 2.70. They give up an average of 5.56 runs per 9 innings. Opposing hitters' OPS from the 7th inning on is a league high 7.98. The Nationals' bullpen averages the fewest outs per game in relief, 2.9. Opposing teams are hitting 281 in the 8th inning. All right? National relievers have given up 12 home runs in the 9th inning alone. You know, it's a freaking train wreck. And you add it all up, they're on pace to be the worst bullpen in the history of Major League Baseball.
Gabe, they're going to win the division walking away whether they have a bullpen or not. The problem is if they don't do something and do it soon, any chance of home field advantage is going to go. So they've got to do something and do it soon. I've got a couple of ideas. I heard you talking to me off the air here about the Dodgers and the Giants and swapping players in a no-no. You know, the Mets have somebody, I don't know, it's not the type of rivalry, but they should go and grab Addison Reed. You know, since 2015, he struck out 130 batters in 116 innings, walked just 13 guys. So he's somebody. The Mets aren't going anywhere.
Yeah.
And they should look at Pat Neshek, Philadelphia. I know it's in the same division, but they're not going anywhere.
I agree.
He's been pitching really well. He's 36. You can get him as a rental. And he's given up, I think, 2 runs the whole season.
Yeah, Neshek has been great, and you're right about that. And I wasn't even thinking about home field advantage, but I was thinking about you're going to be the odd man out. Don't you know? Yeah, the trade deadline's July 31st. That doesn't mean that you do a deal on July 28th. That means everybody's going to be gone by July 14th type deal, right? So, yeah, like Rizzo better be the first one out of the gate. He's starting to feel the heat right now. People are getting pissed off in Washington about this.
You know, he claimed they knew what they were in for. They tried to get a couple of closers.
I know. You read that, too? You see, he did the interview. He goes, oh, we knew we had this problem. Well, why didn't you do anything about it?
You know, they didn't know. The other guy that they should go after is Brad Hand in San Diego. And he's not quite Andrew Miller, but he could be very similar to them. He strikes out 30% of the batters they have. And by the way, they don't just need a closer. They need a few people. You know what I mean? They're going, you know, they're pitching the most innings, their starters. I don't know how that's going to go through the dog days of summer. I don't know if you want your, you know, the two big guys there going 8 innings every game.
You're exactly right. We just talked about that. And, you know, I know you like the Cubs tonight, and Malinsky brought it up. Max Scherzer, his last two starts, 118 pitches and 121 pitches. Washington Nationals starters are averaging a Major League Baseball high 6 2/3 per start, which is incredibly high in today's day and age. It's going to catch up to them down the road. You're exactly right. I brought up, we'll get to your picks in a minute here, but I brought up Johnny Cueto to Malinsky, and I was kidding about the Dodgers and the Giants never making a deal. So I guess they made a minor deal in 2007 for Scrubs. Before that, it was 1985. It is somewhat unheard of, but that's where, you know, you can get three-way deals going with other teams. But you got Cueto out there. What are your thoughts on Sonny Gray as a pitcher right now? I think he's a guy that could help a team down the stretch.
I don't know. He to me, his ship has sailed. Well, what is it that you like about Gray?
Well, I like the fact that you can he's available right now. You won't have to give up a farm, and he can help a team in the back end of the rotation and help eat up some innings for a team like the Nationals.
The one thing that they have going for them is they've been winning games so easily that their all-world closer, who hasn't walked a guy in, it seems, years.
No, I'm not talking about the Dodgers. I'm talking in general for Sonny Gray. In general, can help a team. I was talking even about the Nationals, you know?
And throw him in the bullpen? I don't think so. I don't see it. I don't see it.
I bet you he gets traded to a good team.
I don't see how that works him out. I differ. I differ. I don't think so.
All right, we'll have to add that to our bet with O.J. Simpson. I bet you right now, and then we'll bet another. We'll bet a pizza. We got chicken wings. I bet you whatever you want. We'll bet. I bet you right now, Sonny Gray is pitching for a contender at the trade deadline.
All right, I'll take that bet.
All right, yeah, he's getting traded to it. He'll get traded. All right. So speaking of contenders, our O.J. bet. We didn't get to it last week. So he's not up for parole until July 20th. So we've got time to dig into this. But for the record, me and Cardano bet a dinner. That he says that he's not going to get paroled, and I say he gets paroled.
I think it's going to be another 5 years, his next hearing, 75 years old. He's not going to do it at 70. If it was anybody else,
he'd already be out.
Yeah.
You know what? You're right. I wouldn't shock me if they said, you know what, OJ, you're close, but not yet. You're right. He's 71 years old, man.
Listen, I just think the fact that he's in there for stealing his own stuff is amusing to begin with.
Yeah, it's kind of ironic. Little harsh that he got 33 years for that, isn't it?
If
he would have been found guilty for the murders, I don't what would have he gotten? 28 years? He got 33 years for the helmet.
I don't remember who I was telling, but if I was his attorney, I would have said after he got off in the criminal trial, I would have just said, listen, all you have to do is not steal your own stuff and you're good from here on out.
Yeah.
He went ahead and did it, you know?
What do you tell? If somebody tries to sell you back your Heisman Trophy or the helmet you wore at USC, let it go, OJ. Let it go, right? Yeah. You know, it's funny. I lived at Palace Station for months, all right, the hotel where this happened. So I've actually walked the exact, I've lived the moments. So, I know, he was at the Oyster Bar, all right? So I can just picture it all. And him meeting these guys. And, at what point did he think, you know, just to be there and someone to stop him and go, yo, OJ, this isn't a good idea. He didn't even know the guys. He met some guys at the bar in a casino that had guns on them that said, yeah, we'll help you out, OJ. And they go up to the room. They're pulling guns on the dudes. OJ's like, whoa. And OJ gets 33 years in jail for kidnapping, for trying to get his helmet back from some low-life scumbag in a hotel room.
What was he going to do if he got the stuff back anyway? What was he going to do with it?
I don't know. Sell it for $600 or something. I don't know. It's one of the most baffling things ever. But good. I don't know. I think he might get out.
This ought to be interesting.
All right. So division battles right now. I did my intro of the show about this. Four of the six divisions are still open right now. The odds makers are just expecting the Cubs and the Tribe. They're both minus 500 to come back and win those divisions. How do you think this plays out? Is there going to be one surprise? Is Milwaukee going to make it? Minnesota? And you know what's crazy to me? How about the freaking Angels, Mike? They lose Mike Trout, and somehow now they're over 500, and they're in the wild card mix.
Cameron Maben's been wonderful for them. You know, listen, the National League, to me, it's already kind of anticlimactic. The Cubs will catch the Brewers. There's no doubt in my mind there. The Nationals are going to win the division. The Dodgers, Diamondbacks, and Rockies are all going
to
get in.
Yeah, exactly. The Rockies and the D-backs are going to play a wild card game. The Dodgers win that division.
But, you know, the AL, now this is going to be fun. I don't believe in the Twins. The Astros, the Indians are going to come through. They're going to get in. But, you know, the AL East and the rest of the American League.
Your Rays, Mike, are finally coming on. You picked them last year. They're only three back now.
Dave, we may end up seeing a play-in game to play in the play-in game. I mean, you go all the way down to, I think it's seven teams, all the way down to Toronto. It was only 3.5 out of the wild card. There's a lot of teams there. A lot can happen. That's going to be fun to watch.
That's going to affect the trade deadline a lot, though, because no one – that's the thing if you're the Nationals, man. There's not going to be a ton of sellers. Guys are going to be like, I can't sell. I'd like to sell. I don't even like this contract. But I can't tell my fan base I'm dumping when I'm 3.5 out of a wild card spot.
Yeah, Gabe, that's where I went to San Diego and New York and Philadelphia, because those are the three of the teams that are not going to be in it.
You know what? I feel old here. 15 years ago today, the Expos traded for Bartolo Colon. And you know what's crazy? I actually remember the day like it was yesterday, man. I was with my ex-girlfriend's kid. He had a Little League baseball game. And I was in the media then. It was my first year in the media, actually, 2002. I just started. And I had a little, the old days, I had the little, you know, Walkman radio, Mike, with the headphones. I was like, what? We got Bartolo Colon. Yeah. Great job, Omar Minaya. But it might have been one of the most one-sided deals ever. But I like what you said. You go, yeah, the Cleveland guys were kind of bust. I mean, so they traded Bartolo Colon for Grady Sizemore, Cliff Lee, and Brandon Phillips, none of which who had ever played a Major League Baseball game before at that point. Three prospects. People rip Minaya. Oh, worst trade ever. We loved it in Montreal because Minaya stuck it to the man. He was like, I know you're leaving, and I'm going to try to win for the city I'm in right now. And Minaya was selfish. He wanted to make a splash and win, you know, to get his name out there. And, you know, Colon pitched his ass off for the Expos. Colon pitched well for Montreal.
He actually pitched well. He pitched well the following year. You know what happened? It wasn't his fault, but towards the end of that year, if you recall, then the Expos, they fell out of it and they started trading off guys, but not him. They kept him.
Yeah, it was
for
strange.
For the balance of that year.
Major League Baseball, yeah, it was an infamous Labor Day weekend. They went
but
in.
But those other guys, you know, Sizemore and how many, and Phillips, how many World Series have those guys won?
No, you're right. To me, Grady Sizemore was overrated. Cliff Lee was good. Phillips,
they had good Major League careers, but they never won anything.
No, Phillips had it. Phillips turned in, you know, Phillips was good. Phillips did his first ever interview with me on the Vermont Expos. Kid was an A-ball. He goes, hey, sir, I never done a radio interview before.
And
now he's a bitter big leaguer.
Yeah. Yeah. He seems bitter to me.
Yeah, you know what's crazy, though? The trade is still living because Carlos Carrasco, when he was a kid, they traded Cliff Lee for the rights to Carrasco. So that deal is still given to the Indians.
You know, interestingly enough, Minaya, he went over to the Mets.
Yep.
And, you know, everybody wanted to get rid of him. But a lot of the guys that they have on their Major League roster that made it to Major Leagues actually came from Minaya's draft.
Yeah, where is Minaya now? Like, how come he's not in the game? He wasn't a bad GM.
He is in the game somewhere. He's working for somebody.
Is he? Is he like is he an assistant or a president
something like that?
Yeah, like, yeah, all right. Look, we'll have to look that up, too. All right, where's Omar Minaya right now? Camera 2, Drew? Oh, he's the, what's that? The baseball operations for the Padres? All right, thanks, Glenn. Yeah, he's the director of operations for the Padres. Good for him. And look, they got some good young players. And you're betting against one of them tonight in Chacin. I like this pitcher.
Listen, he's had two good starts. His ERA is it's 4.95, I think, right? See, a couple of his whip is 1.3. I actually go the other way. I love Sean Newcomb tonight. I love Sean Newcomb tonight. They haven't seen him yet. If he can limit his walks, he's got fantastic strikeout percentage. He has actually been limiting his walks in his starts so far. He's 0-2, but he's got a 1.96. I'm pretty sure that line has probably moved already, and a lot of people are probably jumping on Chacin. I'm going the other way.
Yeah, this one concerns me, just for the record. Padres are 12-1 their last 13 games against the Atlanta Braves. Chacin, 0.83 whip, 1.72 ERA at home this year. We got to get out of here. But I like where you're going with the Cubs. Got to take a shot with a Cub. He's a plus 155.
Yeah, I don't think – listen, this is kind of playoff atmosphere for these two guys. They're really going at it. Cubs don't give up at bats in these things. And are we expecting Scherzer to go 10 innings here? What was he going to do?
Yeah, good stuff. I enjoyed the conversation, Mike. Always a pleasure, man.
All right, take care.
Mike Cardano with us. Take a quick break. We talk Houston Texans football. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues, as does our team-by-team National Football League previews. All right, we're blasting through the divisions, and we're going in what I think my predictive order will be. We've arrived to the AFC South. An AFC South that used to be a train wreck and a god-awful division that is now a division that is stacked with Pro Bowl caliber talent. And I'll tell you what, maybe potentially a Super Bowl contender as well. I had a lot of difficulty. You know, there was no difficulty thinking that the Patriots are going to win the AFC East. I do believe that the Steelers are going to win the North. Now we're of a ride to the South. A lot of people like the Tennessee Titans this year. I did a Twitter poll, asked you guys what you thought. We got hundreds of votes, and like 39-40% of you thought and responded that the Tennessee Titans were going to win this division. I will disagree. We're going to start off with the division winner, Houston Texans. Now, the Houston Texans were 9-7 last year, as they were the year before that, as well. In fact, they've been 9-7 three consecutive years. They beat the Raiders in the playoffs last year, albeit with Connor Cook at the quarterback position. Normally, on an annual basis, they seem to lose to the Chiefs in the opening round. In that playoff game, nobody ever wants to watch. They actually hung around, though, with the New England Patriots. And I think this Houston Texans football team is ready to kick the door down. They have a couple of liabilities that we'll get to. And I do believe that the biggest liability is actually the head coach, who is in the hot seat, in my opinion. Houston Texans, 22-1 to win the Super Bowl coming into the year. They're 11-1 to win the AFC. They're plus 200 to win the South. The division's pretty much a toss-up between the Colts, the Titans, and the Texans. They're all in the plus 200 range. Now, the win total is probably the best bet. It's 8.5, and I don't see this Houston Texan football team winning less than 9 games. I think this is the best Texans team that they've ever had. And they've been able to win 9 games with the QB carousel that they've had over the years. Now, this team is stacked on both sides of the football. They should win more than 9 games a year. They only scored 17.9 points per game last year, man. It's freaking pathetic. And it's a miracle you were as good as you were and you won 9 games scoring 17.9 points per game. Brock Osweiler is gone. But we can't blame everything on Brock Osweiler, all right? It's like Putin. Everything's not Russia's fault. Everything's not Osweiler's fault. Yes, Osweiler is a dumb-looking giraffe that's a crap-ass quarterback. Yes. Was he overpaid? Yes. You were 9-7 with him. You were 9-7 the year before without him. You were 9 and, like, you see a pattern here? And O'Brien, this is on you. You're the quarterback guru. You're the one that keeps bringing all these guys in. And the ownership told you this. Get it right, man. Get it right. Now, I think they got it right by trading up and getting Deshaun Watson. I'm a big Deshaun Watson fan. And we talked often about which college quarterback was the most ready to play in the NFL, and it was Deshaun Watson. With that being stated, he's not more ready than Tom Savage is to play in the NFL right now. Tom Savage only started 2 games, but he's been in camp for 4 years, coming into his 4th year here. All right, he's been around. He understands the pace of the game and the speed of the game. If the season started tomorrow, Tom Savage is the quarterback. I think that's the way to go. I would give the job to whoever's better out of the gate in camp. I really would. It's an open competition. But the thing is, the Houston Texans are freaking close, man. All right? You guys are close. You might be the second best team in the AFC. And I think you can get to the AFC Conference Championship game even with Tom Savage. It's hard to see Tom Savage beating Tom Brady, but it's also hard seeing Deshaun Watson beating Tom Brady as a rookie as well. You look at it like this. You put Deshaun Watson in, and you got tough games, man. You're playing at Cincinnati in week 2 on a Thursday night. After that, you're at Foxborough. You want to throw a rookie quarterback out there? You want to get him killed? When you've got an all-star freaking team, you want to get Deshaun Watson and kill the kid's confidence? You go with Tom Savage for as long as Savage can take you. If Savage starts to struggle, you give Deshaun Watson a chance. You give Deshaun Watson some reps with the number one team in offense. You work him in. You work in a couple of packages in regular season games, even for him. You just don't throw him out there. I would start Tom Savage, and O'Brien recently stated that Savage has the upper hand right now. Whoever the quarterback is, they got a wealth of weapons at their disposal, man. DeAndre Hopkins, 189 receptions over the last 2 years, and that's with a bunch of piece of crap quarterbacks. Will Fuller, rookie out of Notre Dame, wasn't a big Will Fuller fan. Kid's fast, He's bulked up in the offseason, but whatever, man. He doesn't need to hit the weight room. He needs to learn how to hang on to a freaking football. You know, decent rookie year. You can be better. I'm expecting big things from Braxton Miller this year. This kid transformed from quarterback. Now he's going to have a full camp, a full offseason to work out as a wide receiver and get the drills down and get the technique and the footwork down. He's a hell of an athlete. He's got a nice big frame. Expect some production from Braxton Miller from the slot. They got a good tight end in Fedora, which we know about that. Lamar Miller is Lamar Miller, all right? Lamar Miller is, he's Applebee's. You know, Applebee's. Not great, but it's good. Yeah, and it's same all the time. That's Lamar Miller. Oh, Lamar Miller's not this, he's not that. No, he's Lamar Miller. Yeah, that's what he is. You know, he's not a star, but he's not terrible. You know, he only averaged 4 yards a clip last year. Dante Foreman is in. I'm a big fan of this kid, former Longhorn. The defense, what can we say about the defense? Clowney is a freak. They get J.J. Watt back. You want him to run on the Texans, good luck. They only give up 99 yards a game. You want to pass on him, good luck. They only give up 200 yards a game. That's only 300 yards they give up. Their weakness is their coach, Bill O'Brien. You got to get more aggressive and actually play to win instead of playing not to lose. The schedule is easy. Fourth easiest schedule in the National Football League. You only played three teams that were in the playoffs last year. Your opponents have a winning percentage of just 4-5-5. This division is yours for the taking. I think the Houston Texans are going to win a division, and one of my best bets of the year will be Houston Texans over 8.5. Game Time Decisions on the Fantasy Sports Network continues. Time for our plays of the day. Let's start off with an underdog in the Arizona Diamondbacks. I don't get why the D-backs are dogs in this spot on their home field. Diamondbacks are dominant at home. We'll take a shot, plus 107. Braves and Padres. Chassin's been really good at Petco. He's dominant at Petco. And the Padres are 12-1 their last 13 games against the Atlanta Braves in San Diego. Mariners and Dodgers, parlay, plus 121. Colorado Rockies. This one's a little bit dangerous, man. They're really regressing. They're on a six-game slide right now. Does it continue? I don't know. We got Bertwin Alaska last night. It wouldn't shock me if Kane actually won tonight, but we'll take the Rockies. Minus 130, but I can't lie. I'm scared about this one. This one, I can't lie to you. I was thinking, you know what? The College World Series, it's a three-game series. LSU probably gets back in this, and it's going to go the distance and go three. But I'm shocked to see the number that we're getting, plus 205 with a Florida Gator team that has won 19 consecutive games by one run. Not 19 games in a row, but the last 19 one-run wins, all right? They don't lose close baseball games. Give me plus 205 with the Florida Gators in the first-ever college championship, and give me under 7. May the winners be yours.